A few months ago, a new video game came out. Well, it's really a re-release of a couple of older games that brought back some serious nostalgia for me. The game was a remastered version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. And it's really a simple premise of the game. You skate, you get points, you unlock achievements. Then you can boost your character or get some sweet new gear or a new board, you know? And so for me, it's been this beautiful trip down memory lane. And the reality is that I probably wouldn't have gotten it if I hadn't been so enamored with the original release in like the late 90s or so. But my girls, a third and seventh grader, have started playing this and have had a whole different experience. Because for them, it's not nostalgia. It's something fully new. They're not great, but they're having a blast playing it, and they are progressing, but there's this joy that they have with the discovery for the first time of playing through some of these levels and trying new things. And so while I'm playing through in a way that brings back my past, my girls are looking forward to the wonder of what that next high score might unlock. But maybe you're thinking, wait, this isn't a Bishop family game stream that we're here for. We're here for, you know, Advent. So what do video games and baby Jesus have to do with one another? And I think for today, the short answer is wonder. Watching my girls play, there's this wonder because of the newness of the experience. They are excited about the next thing. And the question is, how might I capture that same wonder for the game and for Advent, knowing that I've been down this path a number of times before? In the introduction to the book, Honest Advent, Scott Erickson, the author, writes about wonder for Advent, or I guess even old video games, in that it might slip away. Here's what he writes. What happens when we substitute the mechanics for the essence is that wonder can go away. And now I'm not saying that we have to start everything from scratch each time. It's helpful to find familiar rituals and practice that keeps us grounded. But maybe what has happened to our celebration of Christmas is that we have gotten so familiar with the certain seasonal mechanics, we've begun to lose the wonder of its essence. Does that speak to you? Over the next 4 weeks or so, I want to invite you to partner with me to reclaim some of this wonder of the season that makes the birth of Christ such an amazing time. And one of those ways that we're able to reclaim that wonder is by opening ourselves up to the possibility that we don't have all the answers and that something new could be happening. In other words, if we want to encounter an honest Advent, we must be willing to become vulnerable. And I know that's not a word that we often like to throw around in our culture, right? However, wonder is most accessible when we're in new situations because we don't have a narrative or a script for what's happening. I mean, think about the vulnerability involved in the beginning of this Christmas story. There's definitely no script for it at all. The creator of all things, the one who spoke order out of chaos from the primordial earth, chose to put on flesh and dwell among the creation, to sow seeds of hope, beginning with this Middle Eastern teen who had a script of her own. Vulnerable to complications and bullies, tragedy and rejection, self-doubt, the God of all time chose to be vulnerable in a way that knows firsthand how we feel. The Creator knows what it's like to be loved, rejected, fall and skin a knee, and weep. The one who made everything, seen and unseen, put on humanity and dwelt among us. And if we're able to set aside our normal Christmas time script and become vulnerable, maybe we find something wonderful in this season of preparation. What does vulnerability look like if you're not God in the flesh, right? That's a great question. Well, Jesus gives us a great model in our Philippians scripture, and it reminds us of the kind of vulnerability that we should embody as followers of Jesus. So I want to read that scripture again for you. It says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross." We see that kind of vulnerability with Mary. When she says yes to being the one who was to bear the Christ child, Mary says yes, and what could be more vulnerable than having another human being growing inside of you? You're no longer in control at that point, and you're in uncharted territory. Now, I can't help wonder how much of Jesus' servant heart came from his mother, who put her plans on hold to say yes to her God-sized future. Church, any real connection involves vulnerability because it takes the act of making oneself open to be truly known. God came to us slowly, forming and taking shape in the belly of this Middle Eastern teenage woman, and she was entrusted to care for God's fragile knitting together process. What it says about God who is willing to be vulnerable is that God is willing to open up God's self to deeply connect with us. And the real question today is, are you willing to do the same? Where are you being vulnerable and stepping outside of the script of nostalgia so that you might encounter the wonder of God here with us now? This week, friends, may you find God looking back at you as you lower your defenses and coping strategies and encounter an honest Advent. Amen.